In the name of Jesus, amen. Boy, this was quite a party. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Gosh, what a party. What a party. That day so long ago, that Sunday when Jesus rode into town, it was a party. Do you like to party? I mean, this was really something. It's just so amazing to think about what took place that Palm Sunday so long ago. Palm Sunday, what a day. What a royal welcome. I mean, to think about it. To think who was riding into town on the colt. God in flesh and blood. God coming to his devastated creation, ruined by sin and death and the power of the devil, coming to restore, coming to rescue. Did they know who was really coming into town that day so long ago? I mean, it's amazing to think about. Certainly there were plenty of signs. And they were pointing to Jesus being the one. But for the religious elite, the ruling class of the religious, they were having it up to here with them. As we began our time together, we heard how all they wanted to do was to get rid of the competition. All they wanted to do was to take back the turf. And they wanted to put not only Jesus to death, but Lazarus. Because of what Jesus did, raising him from the dead, many people were believing in Jesus. But the common people, they were looking to and seeing in Jesus someone who is fulfilling what God had promised. Hosanna. Hosanna. It's an interesting term. It's a Hebrew construct. It means, "Save us, we pray thee." And so they cried out, "Hosanna, save us, we pray you. Save us, save us, save us." And that's exactly what Jesus did. And it was a glorious day. While certainly there were those mumbling and grumbling through the whole thing, plenty were just celebrating Jesus and what he was coming to do. Did they really know who was riding into town that day so long ago, God in flesh and blood? And we can certainly conclude this. No one saw the storm approaching, but the one who was riding into town. And there was a storm over the horizon brewing of epic proportion. There was a storm that only Jesus could see, of eternal significance, of catastrophic size. Nothing in Texas could compare to this storm. It was huge. And only Jesus could see that storm coming, where the wrath of God would be unleashed in every detail on him. The King of Kings, who came to serve, becoming obedient to death on the cross. Did they have any idea who was riding into town and what he would do in a few days to work the ultimate rescue for the universe and for your flesh and blood and mine, taking in my place what I deserve, taking in your place what you deserve, because this is the kind of king we have, and this is how he serves you and me, us. What a day that was so long ago. What a gift this servant king Jesus giving to us. You know, makes you want to say hallelujah, doesn't it? But it's, you know, we're not quite at Easter yet. But not only did he do it, but it's done. And yet he still cares for you and me. And in our Old Testament reading that Michael read to us moments ago, it's actually, I don't know, for me, it's mind-blowing. What God promises and what God delivers in this one who rode into Jerusalem. And all I can say is trust the care of the King in your life. Trust what he is about in your life today. I mean, hear it again. I'll skip around a little bit. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Skip a little bit. He'll stop all the wars. And he'll speak peace to the nations. He will rule the nations to the end of the earth. That's pretty cool. Makes one want to rejoice. But then hear this. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. What's that? God knows. But let me say this. There's a lot of ways that you and I become bound. There's a lot of ways that you and I fall into bondage. There's a lot of ways that you and I are held captive. And it happens during the course of a day, a week. How many things are still dogging you and me? And here's the good news. Christ can handle it. He knows what to do. How many ways have you and I been delivered? And we're not the wiser for it. How many ways have we been delivered and we're filled with nothing but thanks for what only he could do in our lives? Thank you, Jesus. Do we even know who's willing to come to us every day, to our temples, and bless them? Hosanna. How many times does he show up and just does his work? And we're not aware of it. How many times are we just so thankful he's restored to us the joy of salvation? It goes on. Return to your stronghold. How many ways does the Lord just keep us going forward? When we get to the end of our rope and we say, I just can't. And then all of a sudden the Lord opens the door and we can say, I can. Again. This is his care in your life and my life. This is really good news. The challenge is that it's hard for us to grasp all this. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. How many ways does the hope get dashed out of us? And yet, we can be hopeful again. I mean, this is really good news. The challenge in your life and my life is this good news can make us think, well, it's too good to be true. Perish the thought. Trust the care that our risen and reigning King has for you, who comes to you, even today, in bread and wine, to give you the assurance that you're forgiven, to empower you to live out your identity as his own in his kingdom. But here's where it gets really, really thick. And we heard it earlier. Today I declare to you that I will restore to you double. Now this is where it really messes with you and me. For all the ways that we have fallen short. In the way that we think. In the way that we talk. In the way that we conduct ourselves in our lives. God is willing to restore us double. Give us double blessing. I mean, figure that one out. How many ways have you and I fallen short? How many ways have you and I fumbled and failed? How many ways have we rebelled to care less about it? And yet God is willing to restore us double? Now that just is hard to make sense. Let it mess with you. Let it bless you. Let it bless you. Let it just sink in and give you a different kind of economy. God's economy and kingdom economy, where the King of Kings, who laid down his life for you, seeks to give you double blessing. I know there are places in your life where you think, Pastor, if all I am is forgiven, that's good enough for me because I really made a mess. No, don't settle for that. Settle for double blessing. Because that's what he comes to do. And I know there are places in your life where you think, man, I've just messed up royally. Well, who's coming to you to care for you? Hosanna. Maybe that's all you can say to that part or that place in your life. Hosanna. He's on his way. They didn't know who was coming to them then, and oftentimes we're not sure who's coming to us, but it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's risen and reigning. Makes you want to say hallelujah, but we'll save that for next Sunday. But this is the truth. Let this bless you, where you're being messed with by your sin or that of others. Let this bless you and even mess with those places in your life where the devil still wants to deceive you. Let this bless you and mess with you where you're having a hard time with yourself because you're in the care of the King, Jesus, our servant King. Man, what a title. What good news in your life and in my life. And may his service to you empower you to embrace all that he has for you so that others are blessed by you and the one who's caring for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.